Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. Do you have an interest in the extraordinary? Anything out of the ordinary? Well, if that is the case, I think you will find my guest today, Wayne Peterson, a most fascinating individual. His story, well, I will use the word unique. The book that he put together is titled Extraordinary Times, Extraordinary Being. And this is about experiences of an American diplomat with a particular individual and the lesson that he has learned and that he is continuing to talk about. Wayne, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
I want my audience to know a little bit about you, Wayne. You are a former American diplomat, yet you are still so actively involved on so many levels. And you started with the Peace Corps after 1964.
Right out of college. Yeah.
Right out of college. And your degree was international relations, which I don't think was around for too long at that time. I think now it's become much more significant in educational programs.
That's probably true. University of Wisconsin experimented on a lot of new programs.
Mm-hmm. And you were for 2 years in Brazil,
right,
and there you created the very first public welfare organization for them, which is still operating.
Still operating.
And in 1967, you were appointed to the U.S. Information Agency's Foreign Service by the President and served for 13 years in various diplomatic positions in various embassies in different parts of the world, in Latin America, Southeast Asia, Africa.
Africa, yes.
And then you resigned from Foreign Service, returned full-time to Washington, and then you were appointed a policy officer at USIA, and then the director of the Fulbright Scholarship Program, which you stayed in for 17 years.
Right.
And you've retired, but you've not retired.
No.
Wow.
My days are busier than ever.
Yes, I can believe that. Let's talk a little bit about your background. Why were you drawn into the Peace Corps?
I think at that particular time, of course, it was the presidency of Lyndon Johnson, but the legacy of John Kennedy encouraging people to go out into the world was still very fresh on the minds of college students. And I didn't particularly expect myself to go into the Peace Corps. I did want to go overseas with some organization, but the Peace Corps wasn't high on my list because you could not request specific locations. But I ran into a gentleman who explained to me that he could arrange these things, and I didn't know who I was talking to, but it was Mr. Rockefeller from the Chase Manhattan Bank. And he knew the director of the Peace Corps, and he made all these arrangements so I could go directly to Brazil.
Now, Brazil, that was a very special place in your young mind at that time. What made Brazil so appealing to you? Was it because of some of the movies you watched about Rio? What was it?
Well, I'm not sure what it was, but I did study a bit about Brazil, and I took Portuguese language courses, and once you can speak the language, you sort of want to go to the country where
mm-hmm.
you can use it.
And Portuguese is not that commonly learned by people that are outside of it.
No, I think the University of Wisconsin at that time had one of the premier programs in vocalizing or speaking the Portuguese language, and I just fell into it, and I loved the language and wanted to go to Brazil.
Now, you had some interesting experiences. You wanted to help the people that were begging on the streets, And in Brazil, it was either you were very, very well off or you were very, very poor. Am I correct?
Right. That's pretty much it.
There wasn't much of a middle class at all. And you had a regional director that really did not want you to do very much. So you encountered what I'd call a political structure in the Peace Corps that you didn't even expect would be there.
No, it was quite politicized. You have to remember that the country directors were borrowed from the State Department's political section. And they viewed the world and how the Peace Corps worked in a very different way, perhaps, than an idealistic college student. And so I kept running into problems because whatever I wanted to do and realized it could be very effective, they would say no.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they didn't have to give reasons. So I was about to pull out and go back home when this opportunity arose, and it was really only through my congressman and his help, who basically knew the Peace Corps director and said, let this guy do what he wants. So they sent me off, and I found the right people in Brazil who wanted to work with me, and we created this program to basically get volunteers and, without government funds, interview all the beggars on the street, and then give them what they wanted. And within 6 days, we raised more money than we needed to feed, house, and clothe all the beggars in this town I went to. The project took off, and mayors from other cities started visiting. And when my picture hit the front page of Brazil's largest newspaper about the Peace Corps, that was the first time the Peace Corps ever got any big publicity. And the American ambassador was very interested, but unfortunately the Peace Corps people didn't even know what I was doing.
Amazing. The right hand didn't know what the left hand was doing.
Yep. So at that point, the ambassador suggested that I take the test to go into the diplomatic service. He said, we need people like you overseas, and that's what happened.
One of the things that you did, which I think is so significant, is that you went to the most influential women, the wealthy women in the community.
Yes.
And you said to them, would you volunteer as teachers to these impoverished women to teach them how to take care of their children, their babies? And when I read that, it was so touching to me, because I think we automatically feel that just because someone gets pregnant and has a baby, they know what to do, and that's not
right.
The case. And you stated in your book that many of these young mothers from impoverished families didn't have a clue about the basic caring for their children. They honestly did not know what to do.
No, you have to remember that there's a very clear class distinctions in
mm-hmm.
Brazil. The upper class people do not associate, speak, or relate in any way to the lower classes, who are pretty much left to their own. They're uneducated. They come from small towns, and I knew that they could get a lot of information from the people who knew about health and hygiene and so forth. And these women thought, well, we can't really teach them anything. We're just housewives ourselves. But they
mm-hmm.
discovered they had enormous talent compared to the poor in their society.
I think that is such an excellent demonstration of how it is important that, one, people are literate, and, two, that they do get educated, that
yes.
we take the time. Because I don't care whether it's in Brazil or in the United States or in any other part of the world, the same thing occurs. And there's been the frustration, there's a sense of helplessness, and they honestly don't know.
That's true.
So I think that what you accomplished there is just phenomenal. Now let's talk about your becoming a Foreign Service officer with the U.S. government. What is that? What does that entail? What are your responsibilities?
Well, my responsibilities all focused around the position of a cultural attaché or a spokesman for the embassy. Often you see on the news it says embassy spokesperson says. Well, that is the sector I was in the diplomatic service, and that position speaks for the U.S. government, not necessarily the U.S. ambassador. So when the public affairs officer, as they're called, or the cultural attaché speaks, they actually relate directly to the foreign population, instructing the foreign leaders, the foreign government, on what the U.S. government is doing. The other part of the diplomatic service collects information to inform Washington of what is going on in that country. So it's sort of, I think I had the better of the two jobs because I could get out, speak to the local people, the local leaders, and tell them what America was doing and why they should be supportive of some of the U.S. policies around the world.
Now, you were able to go to Asia.
Oh, yes.
And you were in Thailand, and there was a book you picked up called The Diamond Sutra, which had an impact on you.
Yes.
And you had that that you studied for about 2 years, but then you were assigned to Vietnam.
Yes.
And you were asked by the American ambassador to escort back to San Francisco the first American prisoner of war released by the North Vietnamese. You arrived in Saigon on January 27, 1973.
Yes.
What an extraordinary experience that must have been for you.
It was extraordinary because of the intense interest of the American press. The war had come to an end for the U.S. public, and now they were seeing the first sort of prisoner turned over to the U.S. government coming back home. And I know that President Nixon had been in San Francisco just a few days early, and they told me that the press turnout was much, much bigger for me and this guy returning than it was for the president.
Well,
so there was intense interest.
Mm-hmm. Now, while you were in Vietnam, you did have a chance to go around and visit some things, and you found in the home of a Buddhist filmmaker and a part-time dealer in antique Chinese porcelain, a beautiful 500-year-old statue of Maitreya Buddha.
That's right, Maitreya Buddha.
Maitreya Buddha, and you didn't know why you wanted that statue, but you were the person they chose to sell it to.
Yes, they felt that things were going badly in Vietnam, and this was the personal antique of the dealer himself. He had only met me once, but he and his wife decided they were going to give the statue to me to be its guardian. And, of course, I'd never really knew what Maitreya Buddha was about, but they simply explained he is the future Buddha, the one that Gautama Buddha said in the future would come, will be greater than I, and he will change the world. And everybody will know he will come into the West. So all the statues of Maitreya Buddha are easily identified because they're sitting in a chair with both feet on the ground, demonstrating that it's the Western style and not the Eastern style of sitting in the lotus position.
Now, after that period of time, you went into Africa, you were in the American Embassy in Kenya, and you had the opportunity to live on the former property of Baroness Karen Blixen.
Yes, quite bizarre.
Yes, now she is the woman that the phenomenal movie Out of Africa was all about.
Right.
And while you were there, you meet a woman that you felt was mysterious. Her name was Michaela.
Yes.
And because of her, you had a special healing experience. Tell us what happened.
Well, Michaela occasionally came to the U.S. Embassy because we had an art gallery, and I was sort of in charge of that because I was working on the cultural side. And I had heard many rumors about her holding seances and the fact that she could levitate objects and such things, but I never got over to her house. I got quite ill and was hospitalized for several months, and finally they decided they just had to get me back to the U.S. Didn't know how, because I had really been bedridden up until that point. I could barely get out of bed and get into the bathroom and get back. But finally, one of the embassy wives says, I'm going to go to Michaela and ask her if she will do a healing, because she's known as a healer. And they went to her and they said, well, Michaela's very busy. She's getting married tomorrow on television. The president of Kenya will be there. She's a very beloved soul, even though she was an English lady. And they said all Africans love her, and therefore she must be on TV and doesn't have time. But Michaela sent a message saying, it's 7 in the evening, just meditate, and I'll do a distant healing. And when I woke up the next morning, all the afflictions that had affected me were for some reason suddenly gone. And it was like a miracle. I could suddenly walk. I could get on the plane. I suffered no pain, which I'd been suffering. Got back to the Washington Hospital Center and was there for a number of days. And they said, you can go. And so Michaela was quite amazing.
Now, you, in turn, found that a particular name kept crossing your path, and that was the name of Maitreya. And this also was an association with Sai Baba. And I've known different people through the years that have known Sai Baba. There's all kinds of information about him. And he is renowned as a teacher in India. And you had an experience about Sai Baba. What happened with you and Sai Baba?
Well, that was the first time I had an opportunity to hear somebody talk about Lord Maitreya, or as we said earlier, Maitreya Buddha. And that was Benjamin Krem from London. And I had just read his book because I saw him interviewed on the Merv Griffin Show. And we know that Merv just passed away recently.
Yes.
And Merv spent an entire hour, the only show he ever did that he devoted the entire hour to one person and his book. And Ben Krem's book was called The Reappearance of the Christ. But he used that term for Maitreya Buddha. And I said, I have to get this book. I bought it, I read it, and within days, Ben was speaking in Washington. And when he gave the crowd in the room a blessing from Sai Baba, I was very dubious. I'd never heard the name Sai Baba, nor could I believe that somebody living in India could send his energy to some guy standing on the stage in Washington, D.C., and have it make any difference. But suddenly the energy hit me, and it hit me so hard that I and my chair went sliding across the floor and hit the wall. I was convinced a hurricane had hit the room and that wind had done this, but there was no other sign of this. And the energy kept hitting me until I finally said, Sai Baba, I will believe you are real and causing this if you immediately stop this intense energy. And it stopped instantly. And I realized there was this ability by avatars or greater spiritual beings that could do this sending of energy. And that was a new experience for me.
Now, you also have had experiences with globes of light. And you talk about that, and you say you had one particular meeting that there were 14 people present. There was a globe of golden light floating around a room. Then there were three. And you just absolutely were amazed with this. You've also had out-of-body experiences. This has to have had a tremendous effect on your thinking, because it was a precedent that you had not anticipated was going to be happening to you, and yet it was.
Yes, this was really my first opportunity to meet not only Maitreya, but to meet many of the other 63 spiritual beings that work with him and guide the work of humanity on planet Earth. And he asked me specifically if I would help him, and I said yes, but I don't know what I can possibly do. And then that evening at this social event in Washington, D.C., I began to see these globes of light and realized that obviously no one else was seeing them because no one else was reacting. And as I was about to say something to the two women I was talking to, I suddenly lost my voice and couldn't say a word. And so they thought I was choking for a while, but nothing would come out. And then I heard this voice in my head say, "Don't tell anybody in the room what you see." And as soon as I agreed to that mentally, my voice returned. But then this golden curtain came down, surrounded me, and I was in a totally new dimension. And that's when I met Maitreya and many of those who work with him. And we were gone for about an hour and 15 minutes. When I was sent back into the room, I found everybody fast asleep and the room was dark. And as I headed for the front door, the lights went on and everybody woke up and appeared to not have noticed that anything unusual had happened whatsoever.
Now, you know, Wayne, so many people would hear this and say, this guy would be great in a sci-fi movie. This really is pretty cool.
Well, it gets worse. What's not in my book...
It gets worse, you say. Oh, this is cute. I love the way you're
doing. Not in my book, and that very few people know about, is that evening, within a half an hour of leaving that group, going home on a Monday evening, I stood in front of my windows in my high-rise condo, and I said, I wonder if I'll remember any of this tomorrow because it's so extraordinary. Then I heard the phone ring and thought, oh, who's bothering me on Monday night? And I answered the phone. It was my deputy at the office who was very disturbed and yelling at me, where have you been? Why haven't you called? And I'm saying, what are you talking about? And she said, do you know what day it is? And I said, well, of course. And then I realized that the sun was shining. And only moments ago, it was only supposed to be about 8:30 in the evening. So I said, must be Tuesday morning. So when I told her that, she even got more disturbed and eventually said, it is Friday morning. Where have you been? And then I realized I had disappeared for 3 days and three nights. The office had sent the police to my apartment and found nothing. I was gone and had absolutely no memory of being gone for those 3 days and three nights. And it was years later until I discovered a little bit more about what the masters had been up to.
Well, I will tell you, Wayne, when I read your book, it brought back conversations I've had with different people through the years. And one of them was my mentor many years ago. And so many of the points of experience that you have brought out in your book, Extraordinary Times, Extraordinary Being, I can relate to because of what she shared with me and what I've known other people to go through. And it is so fascinating to have your book. I'm the recipient of it, and to be able to review it, because there are things that go beyond what we would expect, and it isn't a sci-fi special. It is something that is very, very real. Now, you have some comments in your book, and this was a little bit of the essence that you were given. Self-realization is not a philosophy or a method. It is simply knowing who you are. Observe your actions, thoughts, and emotions. Give attention to the fact of what is, not what should be. And if we choose freedom, then we must give up all of these attachments to the familiar trappings of society. With detachment, anything can be accomplished. And I've just taken out those few sentences from your material. You found you were getting education and information at the same time you were going through these unique experiences, and yet you had to keep yourself grounded in the everyday world, and that can be a bit disconcerting, can't it?
Well, not only that, but there are rules for people in the federal government. For example, I could not give a public speech without having that speech reviewed by a board at the Department of State, and I knew that they would never approve of anything that I would speak of. So I could only speak at very private groups. And, of course, that first private group was with Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, who is currently the Pope in Rome. And that was the only type of thing I could do. I couldn't do anything public.
So you have in your book also some phenomenal photographs. And there's a quote here from Maitreya, "Your experience is your blessing. What you've experienced, you know. Others can only understand once they have experienced."
That's true.
That is age-old wisdom. It's the old adage of walk in another man's shoes.
Yes.
To know what they have experienced before you consider judging them. You have interacted with so many people, and you have interacted with world leaders. And just before we went on the air, I had mentioned to you that I was fascinated with the fact that you had had a chance to interact with Gorbachev, and that Gorbachev and his wife had had unique experiences themselves. And when you think back to Reagan and Gorbachev and the interaction that was there and the things that went on in Russia and what has evolved since then, it is time for a change, because there is so much damage that's going on and old ways that refuse to die.
Yes.
And it's time that we get out a super-duper eraser and say, come on, let's clean this up, because what we're getting is a lot of residue that is damaging, and it's going to be very, very harmful.
Absolutely.
And
it's interesting to know that Maitreya is at this time very much focused on the international political scene, because most people would think he's focused on a religious events, but it's not so. He's basically a political economic person who is trying to force major changes, because that's the only way we will live differently on this planet, is if there are major changes in the political economic structures.
Well, I know there's a lot of discussion, and I know we don't have much time left here, but there's a great deal more awareness on the part of many individuals of the positioning of personal responsibility, open communication.
Yeah.
And the only way to get rid of ignorance, fear, and superstition that I consider our three greatest enemies is by being able to communicate and having an openness of mind, willingness to learn and to adapt, not to become puppets, but to think
right.
and to reason.
It's
and
all about change right now. Everything
absolutely.
Is about change. Gorbachev says it in his speeches. We have to be prepared to let go of the old and go into this new world with totally new changes.
Absolutely. And your book, Extraordinary Times, Extraordinary Beings, is so filled with so much information. And you have a website, WaynePeterson.com, and that's PETERSON.com.
That's correct.
Wayne, I know, again, we're almost out of time. Do you have a closing thought you would like to share with my audience?
Well, the closing thought is that, as Gorbachev often says, we have to make very big changes in a very short period of time. And that period of time is critical. It's an 8-year period, and it begins in 2008, so we're not far from it.
Well, I like to think that maybe with our conversation we've contributed a little bit to that. And with your book, I know you're contributing towards that, and we just need more people on the bandwagon.
Yes, indeed. Thank you.
It's my pleasure having you as a guest, Wayne S. Peterson. His book, Extraordinary Times, Extraordinary Beings, Experiences of an American Diplomat with Maitreya and the Masters of Wisdom. And his last name is spelled PETERSON. And if you want to go to his site, it's WaynePeterson.com. This is a book about an extraordinary man with a phenomenal background with leaders around the world, and you get a chance to share it. You might want to go and pick it up. It'll give you some food for thought. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. Don't you go away now. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hello, Donna.
Yes.
Yes,
just a moment.
Just wanted to thank you.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It was a delight having you as a guest.
Well, thank you very much. And I hope that a few more people have learned something.
You never know.
Okay, thank you very
You're
much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss, book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author, Donna Sebo, will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and our telephone lines are now open. If you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, here are the numbers to call in to 877-876-5227 for the U.S. of A. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And also our direct line for everyone else, 530-876-3222. Hey, tomorrow is the last weekend, yes, for the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. I love this event. I'm going to have on my new costume tomorrow, and I'm just so excited because there is so much activity, and the last weekend is just awesome. Now, this is their 10th year anniversary, and so they are just pulling out all the bells and whistles, and we're just going to be having a blast. So I hope you will come out. Now, remember, if you're in the state of Washington or if you're traveling into the Washington area and you'd like to see this wonderful event, it's being held at the Mentor Creek Ranch at 10215 State Road 302 in Gig Harbor, Washington. And you can find all of the information about the costs, et cetera, and there are special family plans and passes that you can get. It's a wonderful event. And go to their website, the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. And the hours will be from 10 until 6 in the evening, 10 a.m. until 6 in the evening. It is a blast. Once you go through those castle gates, you are going to find yourself feeling like you have touched into an era that is just magical, especially when you see all the different characters and costumes and personalities and find the tree man that talks to you and the trolls and the princesses and the knights in shining armor. It is so much fun. I'll tell you what it does make you do. It makes you appreciate the modern-day way of living. Being out in cow pastures isn't, you know, that gives you a whole different level of reality, believe me, even with all of the make-believe. So don't forget, the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair, tomorrow and Sunday hours, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. It is absolutely perfect family fun. So go to their website, WashingtonRenaissanceFantasyFair.com, and find out all the details. And you'll even have the directions on how to get there. Give me a buzz if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 877-876-5227 for the U.S. Canadians, 888-815-9756. And for all others, 530-876-3222. Sometimes when we're getting ready to hire somebody or we're making decisions about a person and, gee, are they going to suit a particular environment where people are going to be working, et cetera, whether they're a volunteer or a full-time employee. There was a man, and maybe you'll recognize his name, I'm sure a number of you will, William McKinley, and he was the 25th president of the U.S. He had a challenge in front of him one day, and this is his story. He said he had to choose between two equally qualified men for a very important key job. Now, he was really, really concerned, and he did the interviews and went through all of this. And then something came up that he remembered. Now, hold on to the story. We've got a caller right now, and I'm going to take the caller. And when I come back from the caller, then I'll finish the rest of the story. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. Where are you calling from? First name and initial also, please.
San Diego. My name is Linda.
All right, Linda. Welcome to the show. And the first thing that I am picking up on you is indecisiveness. You seem to not be able to ground yourself enough to be absolutely sure about a particular choice that's in front of you. And what I'd like for you to do is to lighten up a little bit. Don't try to force this, because if you're trying to force an absolute compartmentalization with this, you're going to miss something. I'd like for you to relax about whatever the situation is. It is involving other people. I think you have solicited opinions from others. And I want to say, back off. Pay attention and listen. Observe. Be still. Be quiet so that you can really find out what you are missing, what you're not seeing. You have to come from your own internal space. And in doing that, you'll have your answer. And you won't need to feel frustrated, and you won't need to feel indecisive. But that indecisive positioning is a red flag for you. And you need to make it okay that you experience it, but trust yourself enough to let it go and allow the information to come to you the way it should. You do that, you'll come out way, way ahead. Now, I want you to also be careful how you do your exercises. I am seeing a problem with your lower back. And you could end up with some pretty severe muscle spasms if you get to be in too much of a hurry and you rush through and don't think about how you're moving your body. So be thoughtful, be careful. You don't need to have those back muscle spasms. They are not fun. What question do you have for me today?
Oh, I know. They're not fun at all. There's a partnership that I'm becoming involved with, and it's with another person, and I'm wondering if you're picking up that this is a successful partnership in what we will endeavor to do.
I think, hon, it is directly related to what I was picking up. And I believe that you need to not rush into this. What kind of a business are the two of you choosing to go into?
It's holistic health and working with the public.
All right. And with the background of this individual and your background, why is it that you have chosen to look at this together?
We each have our strengths. We're both compatible in our talents. Some of our talents, I'm stronger in certain areas, and the other person is stronger. We're compatible because of that.
Well, you don't really know that you're that compatible. You've got other aspects to look at. You need to be able to breathe about this for a while. There's no rush with this, number one. And you need to have that positioning of trust, both with yourself as well as with this individual. And when you go into a partnership of any kind, it's just like getting married to somebody. And when you're starting off on a new business level, then that is something that if you have areas of weakness where you know you don't pay attention to certain things, you need to be aware that maybe there's going to need to be a third party that can oversee certain things and keep you both appraised of what you need to do. And I know we on the air, I don't have time to go into more detail. I would say give yourself a breather here, because you're looking at a level of financial responsibility. You are looking at a commitment. And I think that there are a lot of things that have to be taken on with a clarity. And I don't feel you have it.
Okay.
And that's not, I'm not being critical from the positioning of telling you this is something that's bad. That's not what I'm trying to get across to you. This is going to involve a whole different level of thinking you do not have experience with. And
okay.
So you need to have someone that you can discuss things with that will be a third party that will have no link to either one of you and no agendas with either one of you.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
And in that way and in that manner, there can be clarity. And you need someone that has experience behind them.
Okay. That makes perfect sense.
In fact, I was going to share something on the air today. I don't know if I'll have the time, but if I do, it's about the Small Business Institute. You might want to check around and see if there's one in your area.
Okay.
The Small Business Institute, and it is something that empowers people, and there are students that are willing to do a lot of work that may need to be done.
All right. Well, thank you for that tip.
You're welcome, dear. Do your homework. Don't lose sleep over the wrong thing. Go into this with your eyes open and prepared.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. You have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye.
This is Donna Sebo, and if you'd like to call in and chat like Linda just did in San Diego, you can do it too. Telephone number, USA 877-876-5227, Canadians 888-815-9756, and for everyone else, 530-876-3222. Remember, before Linda called, I was telling you about President McKinley trying to fill a positioning that was of tremendous importance, and he had phenomenal candidates in front of him, too, and he had to choose. They were both equally talented, and he's just in this dilemma because he liked them both. Well, an incident came into his mind, and it was a rainy night, the memory was, of, and President McKinley had boarded a streetcar. It was very crowded, and one of the men he was now considering had also been aboard that streetcar, although he didn't see President McKinley get on. There was an old woman that was carrying a large basket of laundry that struggled to get onto the trolley and looked in vain for a seat. You could tell she was very, very tired. The job candidate pretended not to see her, and he kept the seat. Now, President McKinley gave up his seat to help her. This little incident, when he remembered it, he called it the little omission of kindness. President McKinley decided against the man that had been on the streetcar. The reason was, if this man was so indifferent to someone that obviously needed assistance in the key positioning that he would have been hired for, he probably would have done the same thing. Lots of times our actions state something very loudly. And we must remember that if we wish to be recognized as the people we are, our actions do make a difference. They really do. And you need to think. And courtesy, thoughtfulness, compassion, decisiveness, understanding, all of these things go into the package that make a quality human being. This is Donna Sebo. When we come back, if I have the time, I'm going to be talking about the Small Business Institute, some information I found out about, and that will help the lady that called in earlier. But meanwhile, we're going to take a break, so don't go away. We'll be back right after this.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. To Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today, 800-872-8852.
Giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227. 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also, 530-876-3222. We have a wonderful lineup of guests coming up next week, and I wanted to share it with you. We're going to be talking to Liz Kelly, Smart Man Hunting. Yep, gals, you're going to be able to get out your lassos and your bows and arrows or whatever. It is going to be hunting. I'm just being a little bit sassy there. But anyway, Liz is going to have some wonderful, wonderful information for us. And then we're going to be talking with Rich Dolan. And this is going to be about UFOs and the national security state. Scott Armstrong, who was an astronaut, reviewed the book and said it was one of the most profound pieces of material on information and research regarding UFOs that you could possibly want to read, and I'll tell you what, after going through it, I would agree with that. So we're going to be talking about UFOs on Tuesday. Then we're going to be talking about woman savers. Stephanie Alexander is going to be my guest, and this is a woman who has dedicated her life to this point to informing women about how to take care of themselves. There's so many aspects. She's got a fabulous website, so we're going to be chatting with Stephanie. And then An Idiot's Guide to Short Meditation. Someone had to come up with it, An Idiot's Guide. So if you feel like you're an idiot when it comes to meditation, of course you should never feel that way. But Susan Gregg, she is just a dear, and she's going to be my guest. And then we're going to be talking about Vegan Vittle. Joe Stepaniak is going to be my guest next Friday. So we've got a great lineup of people, information, and resources for you. So I invite you to tell your friends and join us. And if you're a first-time listener to the show, we welcome you, and we're glad that you're a part of our listening family. Don't forget, tomorrow, those of you who are listening in Washington, I, Donna Sebo, am going to be at the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday. It is just absolutely a great event. It is just total family fun. You can even bring your dogs out, but if you do, you have to have them on a leash. We've seen ferrets. We have seen parrots. People have been bringing their pets out, and it's just incredible. Someone even has like a 4-foot iguana that they carry around on their shoulders. I'm telling you, this is absolutely an amazing event filled with amazing characters, and more than anything else, people are having fun, and it's just perfect summertime activity. Well, I had mentioned earlier that I was going to talk about the Small Business Institute. And the reason I wanted to share this information is because many times when you're starting out with a business, you don't have a whole bunch of funds to spend with consultants, and maybe you need to do some research. Well, this is an organization, and there are some other facilities, other schools. Sometimes certain colleges will have business programs, and if you go to them and tell them that you have a business project and ask if there is a particular facilitator that will enable you to work with students so that they can use your business as a project, the students get credit for it. It is absolutely amazing what they're able to do, and it benefits you entirely in a wonderful, wonderful way. And there was this woman, Kim. She had a sports specialty e-commerce company, and she was out of Virginia. And there was this Small Business Institute that she discovered at Newport University in Newport News, Virginia. And the group there, the students there, produced a report for her that included a business plan, some marketing strategies, and she said, within 2 years, I implemented almost all of their suggestions. And she said, they helped me to focus. See, sometimes when we're wanting to do something, we need to have a team. And so this gives the students an opportunity at these institutes to be able to practice, and they're being overseen by those individuals who are experienced and knowledgeable, but they are doing a lot of the work that you may not know how to do and or may not have the resources to of time and other factors to be able to do it. There's also another company that was based in Sebastopol, California. In fact, they were dealing with pet food, and they wanted to improve the business they already had. They wanted to make it much more efficient. Well, they got some real good tips. In fact, the students suggested that these people that owned this pet food business be willing to deliver to customers' homes and just so many other things. And this person said, it is incredible. These students gave us ideas on how to tighten up our business so we didn't have so many loose ends. It was an incredible accomplishment. Now, what is this? Now, the SBI is a non-profit organization, and it's made up entirely of volunteers. They have about 140 chapters nationwide, and college students who are in the last year of their graduate or undergraduate business school, they are brought in to help analyze small businesses and provide recommendations. And they get credit, as I mentioned earlier, for the project. And faculty members are very, very close at hand. They just don't give them free rein. This is a exercise in discipline, in thinking, in problem solving, because every business has its own unique perspective. And by the way, they work for profit and non-profit organizations. The typical company that comes to them or organization has anywhere from 1 to 50 employees, and they don't care what industry you belong in. They don't care at all. They say often the business owners that come to us are on the verge of expansion, and those seem to be the clients that really are open to what we have to say. And their services are typically free or of minimal cost, up to about $500. Now, that's a very small investment. They have a lot of minds, a lot of brainstorming going on. It can really assist you in wonderful ways. Well, this is Donna Sebo. I know you've got a fabulous weekend coming up. I'm so delighted we were able to share this hour together. And I want to remind you, you are the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Don't ever give your power of your mind, of your spirit, of your essence to anyone else. You're the boss. Trust yourself. I think you're pretty special. Talk to you on Monday. Bye for now.
1-800-273-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
Mystic Atira was born with an amazing gift. Atira has seen and talked with angels and her spirit guide for as long as she can remember.